And good afternoon. It is The Drive, ESPN Radio 93.5. The Drive with Tay and Piper. We just, I was doing some Google Map work at the break. Kyle tossed, by the way, in for Derek Piper today and for the rest of the month, it sounds like, because Illinois is we hope, right. We're going to continue to keep trucking towards that Final Four and hopefully the national championship. 217 said, I found it interesting that the Iowa State player, that would be Milan Muncilovic, with the odd name, was a Wisconsin Mr. Basketball, as was Marcus Damask. I suppose they both wanted to play as freshmen. Yeah, Damask, of course, ended up going to SIU and was the player of the year in Wisconsin. And that is the case with Muncilovic. I was just looking on Google Maps. Muncilovic is from a town called Pewaukee, which is right outside of Milwaukee. I guess that makes sense now that I know the two names. And then, of course, Damask is from Wappan, which is Wisconsin, which is kind of in the heart of the state of Wisconsin. So there you go. Geography covered. Let the bell ring. That class is over. It's time for PE. That's what I always loved back in the day. All right, I had to do some fact-checking because I was completely wrong, not even close. Anybody that's listened to the show for 14 years will be like, yeah, well, we didn't believe you anyway, Lon. So I did a fact-check.
Just like Jacobs, the Illinois running back.
Hey, that's an honest mistake there, right? So last season, Indiana State's basketball NIL revenue, or essentially budget, was a little bit more than 90,000, not 30. So 90,000 is what it was. They are now saying that they need to get that up to 300,000 threshold to keep a lot of the players that were there last year. Now it makes more sense.
Makes a lot more sense.
For Kyle and I, as Kyle said, why would the big boy only play for 90,000? And, of course, they've got more than him. I mean, they've got some really good players on that Indiana State team who I still believe should have been in the NCAA tournament. So when you've got Virginia in there who obviously used their opposite hand to shoot all night, I can't explain how else you would lose and score 40 points or whatever. But yeah.
And they rubbed off on Colorado State, too,
totally
who then
did.
Scored like 30 the next time they when they played Texas. Virginia is a disease.
It is. Virginia's a disease. All right, Kyle and I are going to – tomorrow could be really busy for us here. Tim Onstott is bringing his huge trailer. What did Diane say? It's like a 70-foot trailer.
Mm-hmm.
Tim Onstott, of course, he manages Dedicated Diesel and Gale Frerichs Trucking, but he's also one of the best barbecue pitmasters in the country. Like, he went down to Mississippi, I think, and won a battle versus a bunch of Southern guys – in barbecue. He is bringing his trailer tomorrow to Philo and is making brisket, ribs, pulled pork, I assume, chicken, barbecue chicken. I'm not eating. In fact, I won't eat starting now until tomorrow at like 2:30. And he is going to feed Kyle and I, Pipes, who's going to miss this one. I'm bringing like a doggy bag. In fact, I may call Doggy Bag in Muhammad and say, there's going to be so much food, I need you to drop off one of your doggy bags here. Because, Stevie even said, bring a to-go box. Because I remember we did this a couple of years ago at our old location there on Windsor in Urbana. And there was so much food left at the end, it was ridiculous. And it was so good that I ate barbecue for like six straight days. Like, I literally got to the point where I'm like, I do not want another thing of barbecue for a month. And I like barbecue. So it was just really, I just cannot wait. So Tim will be here. You and I are going to test this food and make comments throughout the show like this. You know, I mean, it's not like.
I'm sure people will just absolutely love that.
So I'll bring a case of beer and a case of water for Kyle. Because he's not 21. No, I'm kidding. But I cannot wait to eat some of this barbecue tomorrow. And really appreciate Tim for coming because it's going to be great. I know that Corey Witt, Jason Thompson, who come and fill in for you and Pipes when you guys are gone, I welcomed them to come along around 4 o'clock. And I said, why don't you guys join us for a half hour? We'll have some fun. We'll talk some Illinois basketball. And then you guys can just eat for an hour. essentially. And they're both like, yeah, we'll be there. So I think they're coming. And we think we're going to have Luke Goody, Sean Harrington, and Derek Piper on tomorrow. We know for sure we're having Piper, probably at 4:30. And then it appears that Goody will be at some point tomorrow. Probably, if I had to guess, early in the show, in the first hour, maybe right off the top. And then Sean Harrington, our old buddy who played with the Illini and went deep in the NCAA tournament, Sean is going to join us. He thinks he can do that tomorrow. And I was thinking around 3:30 there. So it's going to be really busy. So what we thought we would do today is kind of go through the games and give kind of our predictions on what we expect to happen the next 2 days, not into the weekend, but certainly, especially now, Kyle, that we did our initial bracket, right? Mm-hmm. And you and I are still in pretty good shape.
Yeah, my Final Four is still alive. Everything before mm-hmm. that is
correct.
I tried to get too. That's the problem is you try to get too cute with these upsets, and then this year it's all chalk. And so right. the people that are just like, well, let me pick 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 seed to move on are probably leading the bracket pools. While you yep. know you're trying to get cute about it,
but you're right. And the thing that really you fear about this season with this is like 95% of the people had UConn winning it.
Yeah.
So it's not like if you had UConn winning, you're basically tied with everybody else for the final points of the tournament. So you better figure out a way from either now until the championship game to catch up, unless, of course, Illinois beats UConn to get to the Final Four, which I'd be okay with, because that means they will have beaten Iowa State and then UConn.
I will gladly rip my bracket up for Illinois knocking UConn out.
Be incredible. Let's start in the West. You've got North Carolina and Alabama. Here's what I want. Now, obviously, you're going to be enjoying every one of these games. I mean, let's be honest. There's 16 games. They're all going to be pretty good. But, Kyle, give me like a 1 through 10, your excitement level of watching these games. And then let's talk about who we think will win that game. So you got one seed in the West. That is North Carolina advancing. They beat Michigan State 85-69. Advancing to face Alabama, the 4 seed. So it went chalk there, 1-4. I think my temperature for this game to watch it is maybe a 5. And that's too bad because Carolina-Alabama will make this an exciting game. They'll get up and down the court. Let me rephrase it. I'm going to go 6 in terms of excitement level on this one. And I'll take Carolina to advance again.
I would probably be at about an 8. I think this is actually going to be an entertaining game. It's two really explosive offensive teams. The point guard battle, RJ Davis and Mark Sears, two of the best point guards in the country going at it, I think will be fun. I also think it's going to be up and down at an unbelievable pace. I think winner of this game probably gets 95 points.
Whew.
So I think it will be a very entertaining game. Unfortunately, it's the one game that overlaps with Illinois, so probably won't have a close eye on it. But I think it should be a great game. I am going to ride with North Carolina as well. I think they just have more depth than Bama, and they're the better overall team. And I think RJ Davis is a slightly better guard there, so I'll go with the Heels.
Now, earlier tomorrow night, Clemson, the 6th seed, will face number 2, Arizona. I have some, like, I need Arizona to make the Final Four. They're one of my Final Four teams. So I'd say I'm probably a 7 in terms of watching this. I was interested on what Clemson did to Baylor. I want to see Kylan Boswell. I haven't really put eyes on him since early in the season, and I know he's doing pretty well for Arizona. So I've got a couple of things. And then a person I know who I happen to be related to took they bought Arizona in one of the brackets. This is kind of a cool thing. You buy your team, and the way you make money is if whoever you're playing, if you beat that team, you get their money. Does that make sense, Kyle?
Yes.
So if Clemson went for 300 and you paid, let's say, 800 for Arizona, then if Arizona beats Clemson, you get their 300. And that's how you start racking up your cash. So I'm gonna pull for Arizona for that reason, but also because I've got him in the Final Four. Mm-hmm. And I want to see Kylan Boswell. I want to see him, the former, of course, Urbana native kid that I guess shunned Illinois, right? I mean, you could say that. It didn't get ugly or anything, but certainly that was something that he chose to do. Wasn't he already at a prep school in Arizona?
Yes.
So he was out there, and listen, I've visited Arizona a few times when Lucas was in school, and I kind of like Arizona, so I'd probably stay there too. I'm probably a 7 on this one, and I am going to go Arizona to beat Clemson. I think this is a nice draw for Arizona.
I agree with you. I'm probably more down at a 4 or 5 for this one. I just think Clemson's road ends here. I think they're going to be overmatched in this game. I think it could. Arizona's such a volatile team that if they just show up and don't make shots, that it could get interesting. But I just think the caliber difference in this game is probably one of the bigger in this Sweet 16. And I think Arizona, if they play how they're capable, should be able to take care of Clemson here. So, and that is my prediction. I think I think we're getting ready for that North Carolina Arizona battle, which when you talk about watchability for that one, that's a 10 on
Caleb
Saturday
Love.
Night if that one happens.
Wade just texted in the U of I Illini Lake text line and said, I want to see North Carolina and Arizona. I'm going to zip to the south now for a couple of reasons that I want to save the East region, and there's a big game in the Midwest that Kyle and I are kind of going head-to-head on. So I want to keep that till kind of the end. In the South, the early game Friday night will be NC State and Marquette. My watchability on this is a 2. I have zero interest in this thing.
Yep.
And I will take Marquette to beat NC State. Marquette will have then beat 11 seed. No, I'm sorry. Hold on. Let me 15, start over.
15, 10, 11.
To get to an Elite Eight. That's a pretty nice path.
Yeah.
For the Golden Eagles. So, yeah, like a 2, it might even be a 1. Like, I know that I'm supposed to jump on the cool story that is the Wolfpack and how they've really, you know, they won the ACC tournament and now they've kind of just caught fire here in this tournament, beating Texas Tech by 13. And then they, of course, knocked off Oakland, who had surprised Kentucky. So, I'm just going to go Marquette in this one, like in a, I'll say an 8-point win, and I don't care to watch it.
Yeah, on a relative scale compared to the rest of the Sweet 16, this is a 1. This is the one I'm least excited for. I think Marquette is going to win this game pretty handily here. NC State wasn't anywhere close to the tournament a week ago. And then they won 5 games in 5 days ACC tournament and have played great here recently. Give them credit, but you know, they beat Oakland last round in a game where if Oakland can draw up a better last-second possession, maybe they're not even here and lose to a 14. I just think Marquette's so much better than this team, and I think it'll play out that way.
The game that I'd like to see, and I'll definitely record it and have to watch it because there's another game that's going to be going on at that time that Kyle and I are going to be staring down each other. But in the South as well is number 1, Houston going against Duke. That thing stayed chalk there. Duke has played really well. I was shocked at how they handled James Madison. But there again, they've beaten a 13 and a 12. But now all of a sudden reality smacks you in your face against a Houston team that we talk all about Houston and their defense. Kyle, they've scored 86 and 100. Now, granted, the 100 was an OT. But it's amazing that they've really pushed that offense up, and their defense, of course, they gave up 46 in the first and then 95 to A&M. I know Duke's hot, but I'm going to go with Houston here. I'm going to go with the pedigree of Houston to get past that and set up a chalk 1-2 against Marquette in the South.
Yep, I agree with you there. I think Duke, in both the games they played against North Carolina was so physical, and they just kind of back down and just didn't put up much of a fight physically. Talk about the most physical team in college basketball. Houston, I think, is going to beat this Duke team up. And I just really like the matchup for Houston here. I am intrigued to watch it, though, with the way Duke has played and some of their stars. I'd be at about an 8 in terms of interest in this game. But I do think Houston will find a way to get it done.
Sounds good. Let's go to the Midwest. The first game of the night, Purdue and Gonzaga. This is a Gonzaga team that has looked good and wins over McNeese, who a lot of people kind of had McNeese as that team that could win a game or two. Of course, I was one of them, so then I say a lot of people. Probably nobody else did. And then they beat Kansas 89-68, just blew out the Jayhawks in round 2. Now they get Purdue. I just don't see them stopping Purdue. I feel like this is Final Four or bust for Purdue. I'm going Purdue to win that. Watchability, I forgot to say that on Duke-Houston. That's like an 8 for me on that game. Watchability for Purdue Gonzaga would be maybe a 7. I think Gonzaga can give them a battle for a while. Lucas the other day texted me and he goes, I just shut the Purdue game off. I can't stand watching them. Because the officials,
I agree
with Edie, he's like, I literally just shut it off. I'm like,
totally agree.
Well, if you're just going to get mad at it, yeah, learn from your old man. And where I, as I never shut it off, at least learn from me and just shut it off, and your night's a lot better. I'll take Purdue to win. Watchability 7.
Yeah, that's the one thing about Purdue is I respect how good they are. I respect how good Edie is. They're the least exciting, like, number one seed great college basketball team that I think I've ever watched play. Just the way that they, it's frustrating watching them, and just frustrating watching Edie. And it's because he's good, but it's frustrating watching him go up against a 6'8 center and dominate him and get a whistle anytime that, you know, guy giving up 6 inches puts up any type of a fight against him. It's just, it's really frustrating. It's Purdue, for as good as they are, they're not an exciting watch like a UConn is, or even Houston is more fun to watch than them. But that's what knocks me down a little bit here. Now, I'd be at a 6 or 7. I do think Purdue will get it done, because you look at both these teams and they're pretty much the two most post-centric offenses in the
big
country.
Big time.
And so it's going to be post-ups with Zach Edey versus Graham Ike, and Zach Edey will win. Purdue will win the game.
A lot of half-court basketball going on in that one. Where is that game being played?
Detroit.
Detroit, that's right. Now, watchability for the next game on Friday night, and the one I cannot wait to stay up and watch, is a 10 for me in the South, with 2-seed Tennessee, your team, going up against 3-seed Creighton, my team. I've got some money on Creighton to get to the Final Four.
My team in my bracket, but I do love watching Creighton too.
Oh, so. I know. They're both fun to watch. I am actually going to take Creighton to win this game. Tennessee struggled a little bit with Texas. I know Creighton went double OT with Oregon. Those were two kind of fun games, especially the Creighton-Oregon game. Oregon played really well in that game. I'm going to go Kalkbrenner did not do much and hasn't really done much, but he didn't do much against Oregon. I see him doing a little bit more damage. I can't wait to watch Connect. He's going to have his big game, you know, for Tennessee. I'm not a true believer in Tennessee as a 2-seed. I'm going to go Creighton on to the next round and watchability 10.
I'm totally with you on the 10. I think this is going to be one of the best games of the tournament. When I was going through my bracket and filling it out, this is the game that took me the longest to decide.
Yes.
Because I knew that I wanted to take the winner of this game to beat Purdue, because I actually like how both these teams match up with Purdue theoretically. But this game, I think, is going to be fascinating. I ended up going with Tennessee in my bracket. I'll stick with it. I say Tennessee gets a close win here.
Yep.
But I would not be surprised. Creighton, thing with Creighton, too, is they've got so many shooters that if they just go off from three, Tennessee's not going to have a chance in this game. At the same time, Tennessee, one of the better defensive teams in the country, and they've probably got the best individual player on the court in Connect. So it's going to be an awesome game. I will ride with my bracket and go with the Vols.
All right. I wanted to go to the U of I Atlanta Lake text line real quick. Ben and Bourbonnais said, with busy show tomorrow, I wanted to get this out there. Brad will need to become his old intense self for Thursday's game with how physical ISU defense is. I hate saying ISU because I think of Illinois State. Iowa State. Need to get in officials to make sure there is a tight whistle. Also, this could be Coleman's masterpiece with how much he complains to the refs. If he can do the masterpiece of complaining and splash some threes, I think that'd be a good call. So good call, Ben, on the U of I Atlanta Lake text line. Kenny said, Central Illinois connection to that NC State game. The assistant for NC State is Kareem Richardson, who graduated from Rantoul in 1992. I remember reading and hearing about Kareem Richardson. He was 4 years younger than me. There's nobody older than me, actually. So it was cool to see that. And he, of course, is an assistant for NC State. So I appreciate that, Kenny. And we'll be on the lookout for that. That'd be cool for him to be able to advance into an Elite Eight game. All right, we finish in the East. The early game is UConn and San Diego State. My watchability on this is 10, because I need to really focus in on UConn, although I might be scared to crap.
Right.
And just be like, I don't want to watch anymore. I may take my blanket and go in the corner and, you know, just put a thumb in my mouth and just be like, I don't want to play them. By the way, I haven't used a blanket in a while, like just like watching TV. You know, I'm not one of those. You a blanket guy? Like, do you
no,
sit on the
I'm
couch?
Not.
And, neither am I. But I'll take UConn over San Diego State. I would say, honestly, watchability is probably an 8, but I'm going to watch it because I want to see what would be next for Illinois should they get by the Cyclones.
Yeah, I've seen enough UConn this year that I don't necessarily factor that into it. I would be down at like a 4 or 5 for this one. It's weird because it's not often that you're this, you know, that there's not this excitement for a national championship game rematch.
I know.
Like normally when you talk about, well, the national championship game from last year, we get a Sweet 16 rematch and it's like, well, UConn's going to boat race them. We don't need to watch this.
That and it's San Diego State.
And it's San Diego State who got pretty lucky to get there last year. So I don't know. I think UConn should take care of this San Diego State team. They're just rolling right now. I don't think they're going to see a true test until the next one.
And then there's one. Illinois, the 3 seed against Iowa State. Obviously, watchability 10 or
10,
more.
Yes.
On this one, the way Illinois is playing basketball right now, and the way it started against Iowa, essentially, that final game of the year, winning at Iowa City, running the table at the Big Ten tournament in Minneapolis. I know that, and Brad said it well today, that 9-0 run by Morehead State to start that game, if you flip that around, like if you take Illinois from being down 9-0 from then on, and I know Morehead State made that first half really competitive and even a little bit a few minutes into the second half, but Illinois has played so well. I'm going to be transparent here, Kyle. There's a little bit of me that thinks Iowa State's a good football program, and I don't really ever get too worked up about Hilton Coliseum and the Cyclones and basketball. They've had some cool guys there. You know, Fred Hoiberg and such has coached there, and I know they've had some really good teams. There's something about the defense versus offense. Normally you probably lean defense. I just don't think Iowa State's got the capability to stay up with Illinois, and especially if the Illini can build a lead, like we talked about in the first hour, if they can build that maybe 6 to 8 point lead and put pressure on Iowa State to get a little bit away from what they like to do, I'm taking the Illini here into the Elite Eight to face UConn. I think Illinois gets this done. We'll give our prediction tomorrow in terms of score, but I'm going Illinois.
I'm right there with you. I think Illinois gets this one done. I think it's really going to come down to what pace is this game played at, what style wins out, because you got an Iowa State team that wants to ugly the game up and win with defense and win in more of a slower paced half court setting. You see an Illinois team that wants to get out and run, get out and transition, play a back and forth game that gets into the 80s and 90s. And whichever, you know, if it's in the 60s, Iowa State, I think, is going to be in control of this one. If this one gets to the 70s or 80s, I think it's going to be tough for Iowa State to keep up, especially late in the game, over 40 minutes. And I'm just inclined to think that with Terrence Shannon and Marcus DeMas playing the way they're playing and the way that this Illinois offense has really clicked here, I tend to think that it's probably going to lean towards Illinois' style, and this game is going to get into the 70s or 80s, and I just don't know if Iowa State can get there with Illinois, with the fact also that I think Illinois is going to have the two best players on the court this game, which
that's
I think
point.
Means something. I'm going to go with Illinois.
Tomorrow I want to ask you, when we talk about this game, I want you to give kind of a sleeper pick for Illinois in terms of a player. Who needs to show up and have the type of game that we know he's capable of now that we've watched it over an entire season. So I'll put that on you. I'll also do the same thing on that experiment. So I want to know kind of who that sleeper. I know we said that Coleman Hawkins could be the key to having a really big weekend in Boston if it happens. And I think that is true because of the way he can bring the big men out. And I just think if he could have an epic night, if you were lucky enough to survive Iowa State, if he could have an epic night against the big boy for UConn, and I think you would need that in a battle with the Huskies. So that'll be fun to do tomorrow. All right, that's kind of what Kyle and I think. Interested to see what everybody else thinks as we get through into the Elite Eight in this bracket. And then come this weekend, we'll get 4 of our teams into the Final Four, which should be really fun. All right, when we come back, Brett Bielema had a chance again to speak to the media. We're going to hear from Coach. Also, Josh McCray, maybe. We probably not. At least I called him the right name.
That's right.
Maybe we'll hold McCray for later this week. Maybe Friday we could hear from him and go from there. But certainly Coach Bielma will give his thoughts on kind of where we're at with this Illinois football team. I know it's kind of funny to even think football because it's like, well, wait a minute. We're smack dab in the middle of Sweet 16 with the Fighting Illini basketball team. Even opening day we're not given much to. And you and I chatted a little bit about that. Oh, by the way, Kyle Gibson today. 5 innings, no walks, 9 strikeouts, 1 run on 4 hits. Is that right? No runs on 4 hits against the Cubs. I'm now excited about.
Weren't the Cardinals baseball. The spring training champs last year? How'd that work out?
This year, we're just trying to get 9 healthy people onto the baseball field every game. That's kind of where we're at now. All right, Brett Bielma is next. I got some work. We've told you about tax day coming up. A tax refund is more than just extra cash in your pocket. It provides an opportunity to improve your financial fitness. What? Busey Wealth Management can help guide you with expert advice and innovative products and services. Did you know the average refund, according to the IRS, is about $3,000? Well, you knew that if you'd been listening to me the last week talk about Busey. Most people plan to pay down debt, but many will use the refund for basic necessities and to boost their savings. You can do stuff by adding to your emergency fund, paying off that debt, save for retirement. How about save for a down payment if you need a car or maybe a house? And you can also, this isn't a bad idea, Kyle, you'll know this one day, invest in your current home. The right home improvement projects will pay you back in the long run. Whether saving for retirement or college, Busey Wealth Management provides the support and resources you need to help achieve your financial goals. Visit any Busey location, call 1-800-67-BUSEY, or visit Busey.com today. I just nailed that, Cliff. Busey, member FDIC.
From computer systems to brakes and tires too, at PDR, fixing cars is what they do. Remember, when you turn the key and the car won't run, call 367-9481 or use their dedicated text-only line at 383-0619. Additional information including repair quotes and online scheduling requests available from the website at pdrauto.com. Remember, they are what's best for your truck or car. They are PDR.
Stevie J Broadcasting is giving you a chance to win a pair of tickets to see some cast members from Ancient Aliens Friday, March 29th at the Virginia Theater.
Don't miss out when Ancient Aliens Live lands in a town near you. The Out of This World Tour continues. Hear from the experts of Ancient Aliens live and in person.
All of you are on this journey with all of us together.
Win a pair of tickets to see some cast members from Ancient Aliens Friday, March 29th at the Virginia Theater. As you text in Ancient Aliens to try and win a free pair of tickets at 217-359-2255.
Ancient Aliens Live, Project Earth, lands in the Virginia Theater Friday, March 29th. Tickets on sale now at thevirginia.org.
Text in Ancient Aliens to try and win a free pair of tickets at 217-359-2255. Details found at thevirginia.org.
Hi, I'm Tyler Weaver, president of Carpet Weaver's Flooring and Furniture Gallery. Take a look around your home. Is it finally ready for some much-needed updates? If you don't know where to start, then just meet with one of our experts. We'll help you find the perfect waterproof plank floor for your kitchen or that stain-resistant, super-soft carpet for your bedroom. Finish your room update with a custom sofa and chairs, or choose a trendy in-stock dining set that's priced right. Come home to Carpet Weaver's, where floors, furniture, and family meet.
Celebrate the Big Ten champion Fighting Illini during March Madness at Pia's. Watch all the NCAA tournament action on Pia's multiple flat screens. Enjoy specials on buckets of beer with your choice of Coors Light, Miller Lite, or Dos Equis. Pia's, home of the Slugger Burger, will be serving up all your favorite ballgame food. Don't forget the famous fish sandwich, available every Friday 11 to 7 p.m., and the Big Tito's Bloody Mary for all those early games. See you at Pia's. Go Illini!
Think you have to settle for mediocre car insurance to save money? Think again. It's possible to get superior coverage and still save money with Erie Insurance. Customers who switched to Erie saved up to $951. It pays to compare. Switch and save with Erie.
Your Erie agent in Champaign is Thomas and Eller's Insurance.
Annual savings based on new customers surveyed in March 2022 who reported savings when switching auto insurance. Individual premiums and savings will vary.
When it comes to finding a reliable vehicle, look no further than Sarah Champaign, your trusted automotive destination. They carry a lineup of top brands, including Honda, BMW, Subaru, GMC, and Buick. And they're not just about cars. They're about people. Their team is dedicated to providing you with trustworthy service and dependable vehicles that fit your lifestyle. Experience the difference at Sarah Champaign. Visit Sarah, S-E-R-R-A, Champaign.com.
At Pards in Urbana, the boots just keep on coming. They're known for their huge collection of men's cowboy boots, women's cowgirl boots, kids' boots, and even shoes. If you're searching for top footwear brands, look no further than Pards. They carry a wide variety, including Ariat, Dan Post, Smoky Mountain, Roper, Double H, and more. And if socks or accessories are what you need, they've got all your high-quality essentials. Since 1968, Pards has been serving their customers with high-quality merchandise. And if you haven't been to Pards in a while, a lot has changed. Go check them out just off University Avenue in Urbana.
Just had a fun weekend here. We actually just finished with the IHSA football clinic, which was the largest I think they've ever had here. Just a lot of really good interaction starting from Thursday night till Saturday with the Hall of Fame banquet. I know it's the largest banquet as well as clinic, to have that growth just in our 4 years of being here. And a lot of positive feedback from Illinois high school coaches. We also invited in and formulated a format that brought in high school coaches from all over the country, a lot of states surrounding us here that brought in some great speaking really, really fun, productive weekend. In general, we got through practices 1 through 3. We were in spiders and helmets, practice 1 and 2 at our first full day on Saturday. We were able to be out on the grass, literally, and right outside our stadium here, and get on the grass, full padded practice, had a really productive 2-hour practice. A lot of really good things showed up, I think, offensively, defensively, special teams got good work in. We'll jump into week 2. We'll throw our little bit different schedule this week because of Easter weekend. Just kind of looking at it over the last couple of years, giving our guys a chance to celebrate Easter with their families and whatnot. So we're practicing on Tuesday, Thursday, Friday of this week, not going on a normal Saturday practice. That'll get us through week 2. And then jumping into the final 3 weeks of spring football on the back end of that. I think offensively, to see the growth of our team, you know, certain positions, obviously Luke at quarterback, but really get excited about a couple guys. Donovan Leary has been really, really good. Kirkland Michaud have been equally impressive. And a new guy, Trey Petty, like what he did this first week of being in spring football. And then Josh McCray and Aiden Lofty, really our two top running backs that are healthy and fully cleared, have had a really productive week. Offensive line-wise, the standard usual Geske has made a huge jump. Josh Kreutz, I think Zy Chrysler, but a couple new guys into the mix. J.C. Dave has been very impressive at left tackle, what he brings to the skill set. Melvin Priestley, another new guy. Kevin Wigginton to a certain level at center and guard. I really like that growth and that development in the tight end room. Griffin Moore, probably had his best week since I've been in here. But Tanner Arkin has continued to come forward and do really, really good things. And then a new guy, Cole Rusk, really, really impressed with his first week of spring ball here in the program. Flipping on the other side, a wide receiver, Pat Bryant, just continues to be the alpha in the room. Very impressed with his leadership, where he is. I would say that a couple of young guys, Malik Elzey, Ashton Hollins, both had good weeks. A couple of guys, Keon Battle that showed up and did some stuff. Alice Capco Jones, Hank Beatty, a couple new arrivals, Kanari Wilcher, new arrival in Rio Sanders. Just really impressed with that room, and more impressed Coach Stepp, just really what he brings to the table. A huge impact on our program defensively, from the back end forward or from the front end back. Really like Alex Bray and what he brought to the room, but Dennis Briggs, Anthony, and Sledge was a little bit banged up, so we couldn't get him in there, but really like on the front end, Jeremiah Warren, and I would say the guy that made a big jump, in my opinion, T. Rod Edwards, really had a good week, and has had a great winter all the way through. On the outside, probably our most talented position room. Obviously, with Clint coming in there and coaching for the first time like that, but Gabe Backus, Alec Bryant, Seth Coleman, Trey Smith, Daniel Brown, a newcomer, probably one of our twitchier, more athletic guys on the whole football team. At inside back, we're a little bit banged up, but a guy that has stood out there that's been able to go the whole week, Jared Beatty, Ryan Mead, those two guys in particular really showed up last week. Dylan Rojack, a little banged up. Obviously, Kenan Kangul and Josh Kreutz, or James Kreutz, was injured. And then in the back end, Miles Scott continues to be the guy that kind of just turns heads and makes everybody kind of get excited about where he's coming, where he's going. Mac Resetich in the safety room. Tyler Strain, we used him a little bit in the nickel and corner room. Some of those young DBs. Chase Canada got rolled up on an ankle, so limited his involvement last week. But really like that group. And special teams-wise, I would say Hugh, Breezy, and David Alano all are hitting the ball extremely well. And Lane Hansen's had a great week as a snapper. So a lot of positives. Excited about the new coaches and ready to jump into week two. With that, I'll open up for questions.
Coach, you've got two new coaches in the Big Ten this year you're going to see. Do you worry about that now? Do you deal with that at all? Or is that a down-the-road problem or down-the-road issue for you guys?
Two new coaches, you said?
Yeah, Michigan State have new coaches.
Yeah, I got a new coach in Oregon, got a new coach in Indiana, right? Like, there's a lot of new coaches that, you really get into at certain points during the out of season. You game plan as coaches and you scheme and look at things. Obviously, we have KU come back on schedule, so we've obviously put in work on them. So, yeah, there's new coaches really at an unprecedented level in the Big Ten Conference. But I think a lot of that is for the coaches. We don't really get into schematics of an opposing team, especially when we're not in divisional play anymore right now. I think, obviously, with Northwestern, Purdue, that's a different segment as they become more of a standard for us. But overall, not really anything at this point. It would be something we take up in the fall for sure. And then depending on when we play them in the year, next year we open up with Eastern Illinois in a Thursday night game that got released. And then obviously to come back and play KU, but KU had transition on their staff as well. So things will probably be a little bit different there as well.
Is this as crazy as it's been in your time as a coach in terms of the turnover and all the switches and conferences and all that stuff?
Well, I think anytime you add four new teams to your conference, right, and you go away from divisional play, that in a sense always changes things. But for me, it's been awesome. I really have enjoyed getting to know a couple of new coaches. Coach Smith I'd known before. Dan I'd known a little bit. Lincoln, we crossed paths a couple times when I was in the NFL, and then in college just crossing paths on certain different levels. Jed Fish and I go back a long, long way. Have known each other a number of years, so it's been fun in that regards. And then obviously with the new commission and everything that Tony brings to engage us as coaches, it's been a fun time. I don't think it's maybe it's an all new high just because of the exposure, but it's really just kind of what football is at this point.
Thanks, George.
Yeah, absolutely.
Hey, Brett, on the offensive line, you've got kind of a mix of guys who are returning who played a lot of snaps, and you've obviously gone and added some impact transfers. So I guess what's the process for you guys of sorting that? I know you mentioned like JC at left tackle, that seems to be kind of a common refrain we hear. So what's the balance of sorting all that out here?
First and foremost, Joey, I think as we went through a critical analysis of where we were a year ago, I don't think we had enough quality offensive line players to fill a too deep to the level that we thought we needed in the Big Ten play. And especially, when all of a sudden Dez was not available, had some injuries of our current returning players, as well as guys from a year ago. Julian Pearl has a pretty significant hand injury early in the Kansas game, right? Missing some guys banged up with some knee injuries that we missed. So just overall felt we needed to build that depth and that roster a lot higher than it was in the offensive line position. So that was priority number one. We added some live bodies to it. Now to get our best five and really to have our top 8 to 10 players that were available for us, you want to have a solid two deep and a swing, which would obviously bring you to a 12 to 13 man offensive line group. But I think just to get a solid, our five best players, our top third at center guard and tackle takes you to 8 guys, at a minimum. But I think if we can get 8 to 10, maybe 11 guys that we feel can win football games, that's the goal that we're on right now.
I just have kind of a housekeeping question. It looked like, and I don't know if I saw this wrong, in the practice we saw that Tyson Rooks may have been a wide receiver, at least somebody number nine and looking like him. Is he moved there?
Yeah, he has. I'm sorry, I should have said that in last week's press. So yeah, Tyson Rooks, you know, we just kind of took a look at where he was and where we thought he could go out of high school. I actually, when we recruited him, I intended him to play on offense, but we were a little thin on defense. So we moved him to that. He did well in his first year that we did it, and then just presented him with the opportunity during the out of season, and he jumped at it and really has been a fairly impressive kid here through winter conditioning in the first week of spring ball.
Thanks, Brett.
Yep.
Hey, Brett, I want to ask you about two guys you added last year from the JUCO ranks, Prince Ford and Caleb Patterson. What have you seen from them as they enter their second year, and what do you need to see from them to kind of get into that mix there in the second
year? Yeah, you know, Caleb actually joined us, you know, halfway through the year last year and was a really impressive talent coming out of junior college. We're excited to be around. Last year, about midway through the year, we put him on as a guy that defends on our punt return package, which we basically put a guy on their top coverage guy, kind of like Sydney and Quan, and were our top coverage guys 2 years ago at that gunner position, right? And he literally covered some of the best players in our conference at a high level on that unit, which got us excited about what he could do as a cover corner. So he's had a really good winter, and I would say through week one, probably the most impressive corner that stood out of the guys that weren't in the playing rotation a year ago. So really excited about him. Prince Ford does flash, does some things. The problem, obviously, he came in at a light corner that needs to have added body weight, and he hasn't done anything to change that, right? So until he changes that, we really can't put him in a position to be on the field for us. So there's some things he's got to take care of away from the game that I'm excited for. But those two guys in particular had a lot of reps last week and played at a high level.
And with the young guys behind them, Jaheim, Zach, and Sabor, them getting some experience last year, how does that translate into this spring that you've seen?
You know, and you probably saw Sabor, we moved to the safety position. Him and Mac Rossetti's got a lot of reps at the boundary safety, which is where Matt Bailey would be, Demetrius Hill. But Sabor in particular had a really good week. I thought he made a huge jump. You know, again, a kid that just, you know, very impressive out of high school, loved his upbringing, loved what mom did with him, Renice, his mom. Wish we could send her about 20 of our guys, right? She just kind of lies and does things in a way that puts puts her son in a position to be coachable and have success. He really had a good week and excited to see him grow. I would say, yeah, for her, for sure, Jaheim. And there's one other.
Toby.
Yeah, Zach Toby. Both of them made progress. I think the game for them, especially working with Coach Gibbs, in the back end, you know, there was a good week, but I think they're going to make a big jump in the second to third week.
Thanks, Brett.
Yep.
Brett, how did you and your staff evaluate Gabe Yakus' sophomore year, especially since, you know, he was obviously on the top of the scouting report after being a freshman All-American, and now that, you know, Clint can get his hands on him, what does the future look like for him?
Yeah, you know, the biggest part about Gabe is, I think as he came in as a freshman, experienced good success, a little bit of a different look for him from schematically what he did in high school. Much of the same what we went into last year. We did a lot of the same things, but maybe a little bit more of some skill sets that weren't something that he was familiar with or as good as he wanted to be, and really challenged him to, have a work ethic coming in January. He's not only matched that, he surpassed it. I yesterday afternoon, I was on daddy duty. My wife was with Bella at a birthday party, and I brought Brexley in to work with me for a couple hours yesterday afternoon. And I was trying to sneak peek some scrimmage film and watch that. And she was doing work, and then she wanted to go down to the indoor. We went down to the indoor, and Gabe Yakus was in there having a workout individually on his own and sweating at a high level. My daughter was like talking to him. And saw the work he was putting in on a Sunday afternoon all by himself. So I know the attitude for him is huge. Schematically, I think we could do some things that are going to help him out, perform and play to his strengths. And then also just the growth that I think he took from year one to year two and the realization of where he wanted to get to be in year three is going to be a huge step.
Just a quick housekeeping. Just in these 15 spring practices, what are the rules on how much you can scrimmage and how much will you scrimmage with these guys over those?
Yeah, 15? The NCAA, that you're allowed to have three total scrimmages where it's nothing but scrimmages. So right now we have those scheduled for the 6th, 13th, and 20th. Obviously, the spring game's an easy one. The 6th, we'll have it. The 13th, I think, would be a modified day. but they also open up the rules a little bit. So there's those three scrimmage days, but there's 5 days that you can use as full tackle days where you can maybe work a certain number of plays as long as the percentage falls under where it needs to be. So we'll sprinkle those 5 days in kind of usually about every Tuesday, but we'll change that up as needed.
Thanks, Brett.
Yep.
A couple of recruiting questions. Looks like you've had, you know, plenty of high school kids coming in to check out spring practices. What have the new coaches on your staff added from a recruiting standpoint? Are there some new faces that they're out there chasing?
Yeah, you know, on the offense side, Justin Stepp comes in really just a guy that, you know, himself describes himself as a relentless recruiter. I would think just the part that's been very impressive to me is not only, you know, since his arrival, but every day since then, just his daily process is routine that he goes through, has engaged me with, you know, he coaches obviously the wide receiver, so he's recruiting receivers. So we've really, I've been blown away with the daily contact that he has with me that allows me to help recruit receivers that we're after. But also I think we're going to maximize his area in the Dallas area, as well as, you know, maybe areas he's been at from the area he's from in South Carolina and all that goes into it. On the defense side of the ball, very similar story. Archie McDaniel, who played at A&M, is from Texas, has been extensive in certain areas in Dallas. We'll definitely maximize that and use him a little bit in our junior college recruiting, as well as a couple other areas that we'll kind of, you know, put him in. Without a doubt, we'll use Clint in his area that he's in Virginia, but also he'll be our primary recruiter on the East Coast in New Jersey. And then David Gibbs, he and I first really began to be around each other and become as close as we've been over the last 30 years through our recruiting areas in South Florida. He's really done a great job of recruiting Florida his entire career, and he fits naturally into that Orlando east side of Florida as best we can. And then really because of the addition of those four guys and their strengths, I'm going to keep Stad in the St. Louis area, but with his new role as our assistant head coach, really expand his recruiting efforts and give him more of an area in South Florida, as well as the area he had in North Florida. Redefined our Ohio area. You know, if you guys go back to my original staff, I really wanted Ohio to be a point of emphasis in recruiting. And then because I had hired Ben to do that and the transition that we had there, it's really been kind of hard to establish someone. So to expand JMO's role in Ohio, as well as possibly one or two other guys that could dip into Ohio as well, is something we're really taking a look at.
Accumulation, preservation, generation. At Busey Bank, these are the principles we use to build meaningful financial partnerships with our clients and their families. With sound advice and vast resources, partner with Busey for a personalized approach to your legacy. Busey Bank, building business, growing wealth since 1868. Proud to be the official bank of the Fighting Illini. Member FDIC.
BMW, Buick, GMC, Honda, and Subaru. Welcome to Sarah Champaign. We can handle all your car repairs on site, including paintless dent repair, bumpers, windshields, everything in between. We have an amazing selection of new or pre-owned vehicles to choose from. Shop from home and buy online or reserve your vehicle before it hits our website or dealership. Sarah Champaign is home of the Sarah One Price Promise, delivering an honest and transparent buying experience. Hurry in or shop online at sarahchampaign.com.
At ABC Heating and Air, it's our promise to help you always be comfortable. Do you need rescued because you're burning hot? Do you need rescued because your air is shot? Call ABC Heating and Air at 352-5400 and let us rescue you from the heat. ABC Heating and Air, 352-5400. Can't you see you need to call me at ABC? Call ABC Heating and Air. That's ABC Heating and Air, 352-5400.
And I'm Luke Goody from your men's basketball team. Steve, I have a question.
Shoot!
We've talked about Sony, but I know you have LG and Samsung too. Aren't they all kind of the same?
Ah, that's a tough one. Samsung is famous for their bright, colorful picture and the frame TV.
They look like art, right? What about LG?
Okay, Sony invented OLED, but LG perfected OLED manufacturing. That efficiency makes LG the number one selling OLED TV in the country, and their build quality is excellent.
Yeah, they're really flat too. So, why Sony?
Sony makes movies, cameras, monitors. Accurate image is crucial. Color, skin skin tones, contrast, motion handling, are just some of what Sony does better. Sony buys panels from Samsung and LG and improves them with their own video processing.
Wait, a Sony might have an LG screen?
Yeah, or even Samsung. You've heard how a great coach can take your team and beat his?
I get it. Sony can use other guys' parts and still make a winning product?
All to get that red hair just the right shade and no blur on the swish.
Since 1917, Clay Dooley Tire and Auto has been committed to helping you drive with confidence. Firestone Tires can make all the difference on the road. Plus, take advantage of the road-ready financing options. Get the tires and services you need now and pay over time. Clay Dooley Tire and Auto, just off Neal Street. Call 217-352-4286.
Clay Dooley Tire and Auto, proven trusted your friends and
in an ever-changing real estate market, it is so important to work with experienced agents like Russ and Nick Taylor with the Taylor teams at Taylor Realty Associates. They have the knowledge and expertise to get your home sold for the most amount of money in the shortest amount of time. Trust the experience and success of Russ and Nick Taylor with the Taylor team at Taylor Realty Associates. Give them a call today at 217-355-0700 or visit them online at taylorboys.com. That's taylorboys.com.
Welcome to Dick Van Dyke Appliance World.
Hi, I'm looking for a refrigerator.
When you buy from us, you get the whole store.
Oh, yeah, well, I just need a refrigerator. Don't need the whole store.
But you get it, the whole store.
My kitchen is only about this big.
You get me.
Hello.
All those delivery, installation, and service technicians in back.
Wow, all those people?
The Dick Van Dyke 5-10-year protection plan, which means in the unlikely event something goes wrong in the first 5 years, your repair cost is nothing.
Nothing?
10 years parts coverage on the major components.
Looks like I'm getting more than a refrigerator today. How much does this whole store cost?
Nothing.
Come on.
For real. We guarantee to beat any competitor's deal, all that other stuff we talked about, like our service tax.
And your 5-10-year protection plan.
All included.
I'm Dennis Freakin, chairman of Dick Van Dyke Appliance World. And when we say you get the whole store, we mean the whole store. Wow! Dick Van Dyke.